Good morning. Happy New Year. I'm going to ask you to turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 3. This morning we have a topic of deacons, but I do have to say, every time the song is sung as the deer panteth for the water, the camera in my heart, when I was down in Goshen, I was in a canoe, the pond was clear glass. And as I'm coasting along in the canoe, out on the shore, stepping in the water, was a deer eating the leaves off a tree. And every time I sing that song, the camera of my heart pictures that scenery. And that's how our souls should picture our Lord Jesus Christ. Every time we open up our scripture and see the beauty of who he is, then we should continue to long for him. May this year be that way. Thank you for allowing me to teach today. Today we're going to be teaching on deacons. Before we read, I do want to say this. We have had three deacons over the past few years, and I got to honestly say that we as elders have been very pleased with the deacons that we have. We have two, unfortunately, Armindo has left us, and the family is fellowshipping at another assembly. But I do, and the elders do, appreciate Preston and his family, and Jay and his family. They have been excellent deacons, and praise God for them. 1 Timothy chapter 3. I'm going to start reading in verse 1, even though the first seven verses deal with elders, but you'll see why as we go along. This is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous. One that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must be of good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach in the snare of the devil. Verse 8, this is where the deacons begin. Likewise must a deacon be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. And let these also be proved, then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderous, sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children in their own houses well. For they that have used the office of a deacon will purchase to themselves a good degree and a great boldness in faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Let's ask God to bless the reading of his word. Father, we do thank you. Thank you for the word, the holy word. Thank you for the guidance and direction that you give us. Father, may you have freedom today. May you put in the exhortations, the encouragements, and the guidance that we need in raising leaders. But also, Father, that we would also see the character of the multitude, that we would see what you would have us to do to please you in all things. So we ask that you put this servant aside and the Holy Spirit have his freedom. We would ask this in the name of the precious one, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I have a story about a young man. He had a tough decision to make. The young man goes all the way back in the time when ice cream didn't cost that much. So this young man was at a hotel. He's 10 years old, and his parents let him go down to the hotel lobby into the restaurant. And so he sat at the table in a restaurant, and he He wanted some ice cream. The waitress came over with a glass of water and said, "What can I get you?" And the first thing he did was, "Tell me how much an ice cream sundae costs." And so the lady says, "Well, 50 cents. I told you it's an old story. 50 cents is the ice cream cost." And so the boy takes out his hand and he counts his change. And then what's happening now is that the people are waiting for a table. So the waitress is getting a little impatient with this young lad. And the little boy pulled out his hand and he studied his change. "And how much does a dish of plain ice cream cost?" And the waitress abruptly said, "35 cents. So the little boy counts his hand and says, "I'll have a dish of plain ice cream, please." The waitress goes back, gets the ice cream, slaps the bill on the table. The little boy finishes his ice cream and leaves. The waitress comes back to clean up the table, and what she noticed on the table was 2 nickels and 5 pennies, her tip. Why that story? That story tells me that this 10-year-old boy thought more of someone else than himself and had integrity. Beloved, when we study Scripture and we see that there are two offices in the local church or a local assembly that God looks at, it's the office of an elder and an office of a deacon. But that word office actually means the work of. It's not a title. It's the work of something and doing something. And so what we're seeing is that there's kind of a description of character that God is looking for when he searches out people, or whether they be elders or whether they be deacons. But when you go through the list of 1 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 13, and you see the characteristics of these individuals, this goes to the multitude, by the way. Every one of us, so what God is looking at from each and every one of us is our character, our attitude, our integrity. Do we have respect? Do people see the Christ in us? But the word deacon is actually three words to the word for servant or ministers in the Greek. And I know I'm not a Greek scholar, so I'm not going to go too deep into this. But you have a diakonos, which is the deacon, which also means servant, minister, or priestly function. We see that there's also a word called doulos, D-O-U-L-U-S, or O-S. Doulos is also a servant. Every Christian is a diakonos, everyone. That means we're all ministers. We're all servants of our Lord Jesus Christ. But not every Christian is a doulos. And that's something that we should all strive for, especially in a new year. A doulos is a servant as well, but it's a person whose heart is connected and after the heart of God. You remember the two on the road to Emmaus when they thought that Christ had died and knew that Christ had died, but they didn't know that he had risen again. And then when Christ met the two on the road to Emmaus, what did they say? "My heart burned. My heart burned." There's also another word, lotigios, which is a high priestly minister. That's also referred to us. But there are occasions in Scripture where they actually take a particular word, it's invested in a special context, and that would be the deaconship. So just talking about this again, the general outline that we're going to have is you'll see that it's a three-parter. One, I already gave you the story. This is a little bit of the introduction. That's two. And then the third part has six other pieces to it. The sixth one is, and I gave you an outline that has some of it on, some you have to write on. There's a definition of what is the deacon, the appointment, the number of deacons, qualifications. That's the character, but also everybody, it's our character too. The responsibility of deacons and the rewards of deacons. And what's the duties of the multitude? And these are some of the things that we'll be discussing today. But before I get into 1 Timothy chapter 3, I want you to go with me to Acts chapter 6. Now, the book of Acts is a history book. It's the only history book in the New Testament. We have several history books in the Old Testament, but this is the only one in the New Testament. You do not base doctrine on the history book. The history book supports the doctrines in the epistles and the revelation. But you come down and you'll see that this is a method that is being used in selecting deacons. It's a method. So starting in chapter 6 of the book of Acts, verse 1, "And in those days when the number of the disciples were multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom ye may appoint over the business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostle, and when they had prayed, they had laid hands on them, and the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. And a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith." By the way, those 7, if you see the apostles, there was 12 apostles. They when people referred to them, they didn't refer to them as apostles, even though in Scripture you'll see that. They actually referred to them in the history as the 12. These 7 deacons, or suggested deacons, they were known as the 7. That doesn't mean we're going to ask for 7 deacons, by the way. It's just, this is a method. And can you imagine if there are thousands that came to know Jesus Christ, the work that the 12 had to do? And so their real jobs would be the watching over or overseeing the souls of the saints and their prayers and their teaching, their studying. And that takes a lot of time. And so they needed help. And so they worked out a number, and just happened to be the number 7, and said, go choose some. Again, what they see in verse 1 through 4, as you'll see in verse 1, the display of love and care, it was threatened. And that can cause division and discord. Discriminating practices when distributing the funds were noted. And so they needed help in doing all of this. In verse 2, the apostles assumed full responsibility of this problem, of this concern. The oversight of the congregation was theirs. They could no longer give proper attention and time to administer church funds and to the needy. Church grew in size and in complexity, and so did their work. In verse 3, you would see that the apostles charged the assembly to look among them for men who may appoint over this business. And then gave 3 qualifications. Again, these would be basic qualifications. And the purpose was to relieve the apostles of all the duties. By the way, just so you know, in the book of Acts, if you looked at chapters 1 through 13... you'll see it's elders, apostles, just apostles. 14 through 20, you'll see apostles and elders. You're watching, if you watch closely, the baton is being passed. 21 to the end of the book of Acts is just elders, not apostles. And so again, this is a history book. It shows you the development of the church and some of the things that happen within a church. How do we get the word deacon from Acts chapter 6? Where does this? If you look at verse 2, you will see that the 12 called the multitude and the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Now, this is the King James I'm reading from. The word serve is diakonos. And that's how the people come out and say, well, that's deacons. Again, this is a method that has been used by Bristol Bible Chapel since the inception. We've used this type of method where the elders have called, and we'll cover that again. So deacons have a crucial role in the life and health of a local church or a local assembly. The role and responsibility are different from the elders' work. The biblical role of the deacons is to take care of the physical and logistical needs of the assembly so the elders can concentrate on their primary calling. Again, the elders' calling, and you'll hear it in a couple weeks, would be praying, teaching, and overseeing the souls of the saints. We, as elders, have to give an account to God for everyone that passes through these doors. The ones that have been here, the ones that have left, and the ones that are here. And I'll be honest with you, sometimes I tremble when I think about this. Again, a diakonos is the term that's used for deacon. It's often, again, translated as servant, deacon, or minister in the New Testament. The basic concept is involved in serving, and the word occurs frequently as a general meaning, such as Romans 13:4, civil authorities, presidents, judges. They use the word deacons there, diakonos. In Romans 15:8, Jesus Christ was the minister of truth. That word minister is a deacon of truth. In Romans 16:1, Phoebe, a servant of the church. That word servant is diakonos. Likely other words in Scripture have the same word, diakonos, invested in, but this is a special technical meaning to meet a specific need. And the three places you're going to find Scripture on it is in 1 Timothy, it's on your outline, 1 Timothy chapter 3, 8 through 13. Then you'll find Philippians 1 and 1. Now, the Philippians 1 says, to the elders and deacons. And we're not going to go look that up. You can look it up anytime you want, but it has a plural to it. So what is that telling us? They're telling us that you cannot just have one deacon. It's got to be deacons, plurality of leadership. Plurality. In Acts chapter 6 is the other place, serving tables, and that word there was diakonos over in verse 2. Again, so we got the three areas that have it. A deacon, like an elder, is a local charge of function in an assembly. It's local. In other words, you can, if you're a deacon here, and you go to Westwoods, Cheshire, Brantford, doesn't matter, you're not a deacon there in that special technical meaning, nor are you an elder there, even though sometimes they think of you as an elder. If you go to Westwoods or Prospect, you're not. You're here. This is your local charge. So on your outlines, do I have one of these here? Yeah. You'll see that we're not going to get into the qualification. There's spiritual and physical qualifications of it. Not that you necessarily have to have everything, but you should be having a touching in each one of these. You can write notes as you go along. In Acts chapter 6, they talk about the appointment of deacons. The men who are to serve the assembly as a deacon must first be proved. Literally, that means they have to be tested. They have to be genuine. Acts chapter 6, verse 3, it says, "Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report." So these are three basic areas: honest report, full of the Holy Ghost, and wisdom, which we may appoint over the business. The deacons are chosen by the local saints of the basis of qualities and character traits known to them. And you'll see that again, Acts chapter 6, verse 3, which we covered, but then verses 8 through 13 in 1 Timothy 3. Those chosen by the saints are appointed by the elders, apostles, in Acts. That's where the method comes in. We have done this several times at Bristol Bible Chapel, whether we're adding one or we just began. Let me explain that. What they actually do is they pray, they bring all the deacons that the assembly selects. Now, I got to talk to you about this because this is important. You see, when elders are raised up, a lot of times what happens is the assembly steps back and the elders have to do all these studying and teaching and watching over and very important areas. But then the assembly goes, I can step back and relax. And then there's this gap between the assembly, the saints, and the elders. And that should never be. This should all come together and be of one. So this method that the book of Acts has is a very special spiritual project. And it's a spiritual project of praying on to seeing who would have these type of qualities, who would come out and be selected as deacons. The elders in this method wouldn't challenge what you selected. If you knew somebody that was a murderer and a robber and you wanted them to serve you and you bypass all these qualities, the elder's not going to balk at it. If that's what you want, that's what you get. It's a spiritual project. We trust you won't do that. But this assembly has had a deacon who wanted the title and not the work. Found that out a little later. That person does not belong here, so don't try to look to see if he's here. It's not a title, beloved. It's the work. That word office, again, is the work of, not a title. Neither is elder a title. It's the work of. They also call them Presbyterian or bishops and what happens then, as you select whatever numbers you select, the elders bring up the men. The elders will circle the men. This is what we've done. We will lay our hands on those men, and then each one of us will pray. And what that does, it takes the authority of you selecting them away from you and puts it to God. It's a transfer of authority. And who puts them in position is God. And God has used you in that spiritual project to bring forth these men that you want to serve them, and they're known as deacons. And as I said at the opening, we're very pleased as elders, and I'm sure this assembly, of the work we have had with the deacons over the many years that we have had, and especially the ones we have right now. The number of deacons is up in debate, or I should say up in prayer. If we follow the method in the book of Acts, and again, I got to stress, it's a method. We, as elders, would pick out a number and then give it in charge of the assembly. That hasn't been done yet. We're still praying on that. But we do need more deacons. Now I want to get into the qualifications, if you don't mind. I don't mind, if you don't mind. On your outline, there's I got it down as spiritual requirements and moral requirements. Now, I'm going to go through some of the... When I get into 1 Timothy, there's going to be 9 things, so you're going to have to add a couple too, or if you already see them. But spiritual requirements, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, well, let me start with, since I'm in Acts 6, let's stay with Acts 6, verse 3. Men of honest report, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. Honest report, this again goes back to being approved. They're being tested. A genuineness, life of integrity. I see that 10-year-old kid, and I can't help but think that that young lad is going to have integrity as he grows up because he's concerned about others more than he is about himself. And if you look at Jesus Christ, he was more concerned about our life and what would happen to us if we died without knowing him. And so, obedient to the Father in all things, because he loved his Father. And he loved you and I with such great love that he went to the cross of Calvary. Was Jesus Christ tested and approved? And I dare say he was. And that's why he would be called the servant or the minister of truth in Romans 13. But these men would also have to be full of the Holy Ghost. And what does that mean, full of the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit? It's simply submission. Jesus Christ said, if you love me, keep my commandments. This is a love relationship. And beloved, this is not only to the deacons, but this is to you and to me as our character. As saints of our Lord. So full of the Holy Spirit is men who are controlled by the Holy Spirit. It's a life of self-control. I see so many times, and because I travel to a variety of assemblies, I see a lot of people talking to a lot of people, and because they have a little position, especially in the world, they get into these control people. We are not to control. We are to be controlled, guided, that the Holy Spirit would lead us through the scriptures, show us the direction so that we can show others the Christ in us. And he gets the honor and he gets the glory. We can do nothing without our Lord. The Holy Spirit in us. Now, so these people are people who have a life of self-control, letting the Holy Spirit have control, being submissive to the Word of God. And then full of wisdom. What is full of wisdom? It's the knowledge of how to regulate one's relationship and fellowship with God. You want to know what pleases him? You have to read the scriptures. You'll see what pleases him. When one is wise unto God, then they are prudent with others and know how to regulate circumstances of life. This is a life of consistency using the scriptures. I got a call yesterday. Actually, I had a call last week, and he wanted to meet with me, this individual. I didn't really know what he wanted to meet about, so we met at Applewood, and then we had breakfast, and he pulls out a pad. I thought he was Columbo, you know, a little detective that writes all these things down. And he had 15 questions of life. He says he's a Christian. He's in his 60s. But he's living in sin. And we had to go through scriptures one by one to answer the 15 questions. It's not the individual that answers them that has the wisdom. It's the Holy Spirit in that individual that has the wisdom. And as long as you use scriptures or principles of scripture, you can guide someone through life. So the deacons have a basic 3 areas. Again, honest report. full of the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, and full of wisdom. And again, beloved, that all goes to each and every one of us. I'm going to ask you to turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 3. Why did I read all the verses? Because in verse 8 it says, likewise must the deacons... We'll stop there. The word likewise, what does that mean? Likewise. We just read different qualifications for an elder. And if you, it says likewise. And that goes back to the qualifications of an elder. Now, I've read a lot of commentaries, and a lot of commentaries says, well, a deacon does not have the credibility to teach. Things like that. And I'm saying, what? It says the word likewise. Yes, they can teach. They can study. And so you'll see later on in rewards why this word likewise becomes so important. But you take the top seven, we'll put those aside for a different teaching. Then we go to verse 8. So the deacons must be grave, not double-tongued. So spiritual requirements or being grave, we'll say, is a serious person, sensitive person, not silly. Dignity and respect should be in their corner. It's also a qualification of an elder in verse 2. They are not to be double-tongued. What's double-tongued? That means that's in 1 Timothy 3 and 8. And now this is the three things that are prohibitions. They shouldn't be these three things. Double tongue. What is that? That means they have to be consistent in word and in deed. If they say one honest, they have to be honest and not double-minded. These people that are double-tongued say one thing to certain people, but then say something else to other people. That's double-minded, double-tongued. They may say one thing, but mean another. They got to be straightforward and direct. Again, remember, they got to be sensitive and serious. These people who are double-tongued are two-faced and insincere. Their words cannot be trusted, and they lack credibility. So the deacon should not be double-tongued. Prohibition. Second one in there, or the third one, is not given to much wine. Again, that's a prohibition. That means no. Now, don't just take wine. That's just an example. Strong drink. They can't put everything in Scripture. It would just fill the room. No excess and intemperance in any area. Addiction to wine, addiction to strong drink, addiction to drugs, anything like that, that means they lack self-control and undisciplined. They lose respect. They lose credibility. The third prohibition in that verse is not greedy of filthy lucre. A man who desires to accumulate wealth is not fit to serve. Things like, beloved, if you're doing things and you're saying you're doing it for God, and then you go over and you're really in your deep in the heart, you really want money. I want money for this. Be careful, because that's filthy lucre. Anytime, and I know a particular chapel that gets concerned because they give out a gift to a speaker, and if they find out that that speaker is going there for money and not for the word of God, they won't use that speaker again. Neither will we. That's filthy lucre. That's a prohibition. And that means they're not to be greedy or dishonest gain. One of the major functions of a deaconship in all, just about every assembly I know is they handle the finances. And handling finances can be a challenge. And be honest with you, we have honest deacons. I audit them. I know they're honest. They're great. If a person is a lover of money, he is not qualified to be a deacon, especially since deacons often handle the financial matters of the assembly. And those are the three prohibitions in that verse. So there's four things in that verse: the seriousness, but then the three prohibitions, not double-tongued, not given to wine, much wine, not given to filthy lucre. Then you go to verse 9. Verse 9, holding the mystery of the faith in pure conscience. Yeah, I love that one. That's what I also put as a spiritual requirement, I believe. And I got to go look at the outline. The spiritual requirement, holding the mystery of the faith. A mystery in Scripture. I guess we should talk about that a little bit. The mystery in Scripture is something that God hid that was revealed when you became a believer. And so if you study your Scriptures in the New Testament, I believe there's 14 different mysteries. The mystery of the resurrection. And then you have other mysteries that come home. If you ever want to read a good book, it's by T. Ernest Wilson. It's the mysteries, the 14 mysteries. Yeah, the holding the mystery of the faith. Remember what faith is. It's a belief in or a confident attitude toward God. This involves commitment and reliance to God's will for one's life. It's one of the hardest things a person can understand and do. You know, the hardest thing is, a little bit of faith. Just a little bit of faith brings you to heaven. A whole lot of faith brings heaven to you. If you have that little bit of faith, you have access to the throne above. It's just that God opens up the doorway for many things. The hardest thing about faith is that, especially in the United States, what I've noticed is that if somebody gives you a gift, you want to reciprocate and do something for that gift or give something back. That's what I find over and over again. Faith with God is he's given. And it's nothing that we can do to receive that except believe on him. To as many as believe on him, to them give you the power to become the children of God. And then he'll change our life. So these character traits are for everyone. But to be a deacon is a special work. A technical work. It says, holding the mystery of faith in pure conscience. And pure here is clean. Pure in a spiritual sense. From pollution and guilt of sin. It deals with our morals too. Spiritually. And so you would see that those are some of the requirements. So not only do we know the truth, but we have to practice it. The doctrine of life must be consistent. And then another one is blameless. In verse 10, it says that, and let these also first be proved, then let them that use the office of the deacon being found blameless. Again, the word proved, we've already talked about, tested. And now to be blameless, that's the order that Paul gave, that man must be tested or approved or honest report back at Acts 6:3. But blameless is a general term referring to a person's overall character. Again, it deals with the background, reputation, the logical positions, moral, spiritual, doctrinal maturity. Everybody messes up. Everybody. But watch over the longevity of the time that they've been here because they've been proved. If it's 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, and 20 years, and they're consistent, That mess up that they did when they were 16, 19, 20, that's gone. Look to see what they've done and how Scripture has changed their life. And if you haven't done that, then God will deal with you. I was at a meeting at another assembly where they put someone, we're going to put someone out in discipline. I asked the leadership, who here, if this person asks for forgiveness, who here would forgive them? 7 people said, no, we wouldn't forgive them. That broke my heart. I find this with Christians, beloved. What did Jesus say on the cross of Calvary? Especially if they've been tested and proved over years. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We all have a past. When God changes your life, you're blameless. The deacon's wives, next one, is the deacon's wives must be grave, not slanderous, sober, faithful in all things. Like her husband, the wife must be dignified or respectable. She must not be a slanderer or a person who goes about gossiping. She must be able to make good judgments and must be involved in things that might, must not be involved in things that might hinder such judgment. She must be faithful in all things. 1 Timothy 5:10 also reflects that. Now, a deacon does not have to be married. It can be married. But remember, when a husband and wife are, well, they're married, they're husband and wife, they're one. And so a lot of times a deacon, this goes to the elders too, are going to bring situations home, and that cannot be spread. That's got to be behind closed doors and stay in there and let the deacons handle it, let the elders handle it. Then it comes down to the next one, husband of one wife. So let me just make it clear. Polygamy is forbidden. We're not in Utah. This actually deals with the faithfulness of a husband towards his wife, a one-woman man. That is, there must be no other woman in his life to whom he relates in an intimate way, either emotionally or physically. Then you go down to the last one, 9, ruling their own homes well. 1 Timothy 3:12. The man who have authority in the assembly shows by example in that sphere where he does already have authority how well he can bring godliness and order to a group by looking at his household. A deacon must be a spiritual leader of his wife and of his children. And that's elder or deacon. That's some of the qualifications. And then you get into, I'm running out of time, so what I'm going to do is just talk about their rewards as a I got to talk about their duties a little bit. I do have to do that. By the way, you're going to find it, and if you're reading the scriptures, they don't have a lot of duties. They don't say a lot of responsibilities, serving the tables in the book of Acts. But what's the responsibilities of a deacon? And if you go through scripture, and I believe the Lord leaves this in a gray area because every assembly is autonomous. It's what the elders need help with. And remember, they got to be of honest report. They got to be full of the Holy Ghost, and they got to have wisdom. So every need has a spiritual background, and that's why the qualifications are there. But some of the assemblies have some basic duties. Let me talk about some of the basics that I see with every assembly. Facilities. The deacons could be responsible for managing the church property. Open closes list, sound system, cleaners list, babysitting list, things like that. But it's more than just lists. It's going behind the list and seeing the people, the gifts that they have. Benevolence is another area that everyone has. Daily distribution to the widows. Love gifts, administrating funds, assisting the needy, getting involved. I was a deacon in Cheshire for 5 or 6, 7, I don't remember how many years. And I remember going and moving people. One house to another house, lifting washing machines full of fleas and water. They didn't empty. But after saying that, let me tell you this too, that a deacon should delegate, not do everything. They're not here to do everything. They're here to regulate, delegate, and maybe get involved with it too. I felt over in Cheshire I was a mover. So that's a warning that we as multitude don't do. Another responsibility of deacons is finances. Elders should oversee the finance balance and see the checks are all right. Every check should have 2 signatures in our place. I don't see that in every assembly. Deacons would normally handle the finances, collections, counting the offering, keeping records, and they do a great job. I know because I audit them. That's my trade. And then the fourth one is logistics. Deacons should be available to help or delegate in a variety of ways so that the elders are able to concentrate on teaching and shepherding the saints. And that's just 4 basic areas, and they do a whole lot more behind the scenes than you can imagine. There are rewards with deacons, and I'll go quickly on this because we're done. Certain principle, faithfulness in small things qualifies for responsibility in larger things. Promotion by God. We see Philip, who was one of the 7 in Book of Acts, is now an evangelist and having an assembly in his house. That's in Acts 21, verse 8. It's a good step up. 1 Timothy 3:13 says all of that. The well purchased to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. And see, the more you do about being a deacon and the work you get involved in and the people you get involved in, you grow in Christ. And then, what is the multitude of the saints? Just simply do this for us. Pray. Use your spiritual gifts. Let the deacons know what your spiritual gift is, or they'll help you. Provide support, and that's encouragement. Just be with them, pray for them, help them as best you can. We have had some great deacons and have them. We need more. I remember the Air Force of the Marines came to one of the meetings, and he looked out amongst the crowd, and he says, "Not every one of you will I take." And then the Army came out and did their pitch, and then the Air Force came out and did their pitch, and then they had to go sign up to who would take the Marines, the Army, the Navy, the Air Force. Guess what had the longest line? The Marines. Because they said, not every one of you will make it. Beloved, I look about amongst all of you, and I see the characteristics in most of you, because I don't know every one of you, but if I study you, I could see the qualities of 1 Timothy 3:1-13. And I see people out here who are serious, love the Lord Jesus Christ, full of the Holy Spirit, and yes, even wisdom. I thank you for being here and sharing. But you're going to have a spiritual job, and that's selecting. So when you do, let God be your wisdom. Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Father, for loving us, caring for us. Thank you for the deacons we have. Thank you for the deacons that are coming forth. And thank you for being our God and our guidance. May you bless, according to the riches of your grace, all that fellowship, visit, or come through these doors. We thank you in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.